and welcome to this week's edition of the Global Venturing Review podcast. My name is Jerry Healers. I'm the editor of Global University Venturing. And as always, I will also bring you the news from Global Corporate Venturing. And yes, it is just me this week as James is on a well-deserved holiday to recuperate a little bit before our conference in London on May 22nd and May 23rd. If you don't have your tickets yet, there are still a couple left. Head on over to gcvsymposium.com to purchase one before they're all gone. Now, let's dive into the news, starting, as always, with the big ones. And a big one it is indeed. Uber has finally gone public, raising $8.1 billion in an IPO that allowed SoftBank Vision Fund to retain its position as largest shareholder, while selling $249 million of shares. The company priced its shares towards the lower end of the range, and so fell well short of early reports suggesting it could be valued at up to $120 billion. But hey, we were skeptical of that at the time, and when it comes down to it, an $82 billion valuation and the biggest IPO for nearly 5 years isn't a bad result for a company that still hasn't turned a profit now, is it? Staying with SoftBank, SoftBank is still weighing up options for boosting the size of its Vision Fund to match its ongoing flurry of investments, and is reportedly considering taking it to the public markets. It's spoken to banks about a possible IPO for the fund, in addition to talking to Oman about a multi-billion dollar contribution to a second Vision Fund. No news on whether it still plans to go through with a $15 billion extension to the first fund, which, remember, has not officially closed its $100 billion target, although it is very, very close. More big figures still from General Motors, which acquired autonomous driving software provider Cruise Automation in 2016 and has now contributed to a $1.15 billion funding round featuring Honda and none other than SoftBank Vision Fund, and which valued it at $19 billion post-money. The deal brought the amount of financing secured by Cruise to $7.25 billion in less than a year, including an existing $2.25 billion from Vision Fund, $1.1 billion from GM, and $2.7 billion from Honda toward the joint development of an autonomous vehicle. And in a nice crossover, 28-7 Therapeutics, a US-based cancer drug development spin-out of Harvard University, has extended its Series A round to $82.8 million with a $15 million second tranche backed by spin-out-focused investment firm Osage University Partners. The extension was led by VC firm Sofinnova Partners and followed an initial $65 million Series A close in September last year, co-led by investment firm MPM Capital and Novartis Venture Fund, the investment arm of Novartis. The original tranche also featured Johnson & Johnson JJDC and Astellas Venture Management, respective corporate venturing units of healthcare group Johnson & Johnson and pharmaceutical firm Astellas Pharma, as well as Singaporean state-owned VC firm Vertex Ventures and Longwood Fund. Let's take a look at the rest of the deals, although they are not that much smaller. Magui's facial recognition technology is facing scrutiny due to its role in China's increasingly widespread surveillance activities, but that doesn't seem to have deterred investors. The company has raised $750 million in a Series E round that included existing investor Alibaba, as well as a $200 million commitment from Bank of China. The latest round valued it at a little more than $4 billion. Chinese smart electric car developer Byton is raising $100 million from automotive manufacturer FAW Group that will form part of a Series C round Byton expects to close at $500 million. The round is reportedly likely to value the company at $2.5 billion and comes after FAW led a $500 million round for the company last June. Goldman Sachs Principal Strategic Investments, meanwhile, has invested in VC asset management platform and services provider Carta as part of a $300 million Series E that valued it at $1.7 billion. Andreessen Horowitz led the round, which came less than 5 months after an $80 million Series D that was closed at an $800 million valuation. It's now raised a total of almost $450 million since it was founded as eShares in 2012. MGI, genomics service provider BGI's genetic sequencing technology spin-off, has raised $200 million in funding from several institutional investors, money that will be put towards research and development and international expansion efforts. Sounds impressive, but reports from last summer were predicting a $1 billion round at a $5 billion valuation, the price apparently dropping due to slow sales of its systems. And finally, taxi ordering platform developer Gett has added $120 million from Volkswagen and Access Industries to a round that now totals $200 million at a $1.5 billion post-money valuation. Volkswagen had previously invested $300 million in Gett 3 years back, while Access Industries led a $20 million Series B for the company in 2012. Funds, we've got two here. Electronics and appliance retailer Suning has agreed to commit $210 million to a fund being raised by private equity firm Yunfeng Capital that is expected to close at $2.5 billion. The corporate had previously worked with Yunfeng earlier this year, putting up $50 million for a fund known as Yunfeng IK Co-Invest in January, and has already made direct investments in Byton and Linlinyi. And on global university venturing, MIT Solve, the social enterprise incubator run by Massachusetts Institute of Technology, is looking to raise $30 million for an impact-centered philanthropic investment vehicle dubbed Solve Innovation Fund. Swiftly moving on with exits, here we have razor and men's grooming product subscription service Harry's, which has agreed to a $1.37 billion purchase by Edgewell, owner of brands like Wilkinson Sword and Chic. The cash and stock deal follows $400 million of venture funding and will allow cosmetic distributor Grace Beauty's investment arm Grace Beauty Capital to exit. The unit is also likely to make decent returns from two other unicorns, Peloton and Warby Parker. DouYu was planning to kick off its IPO roadshow last week, but has instead put proceedings on hold due to US tariffs on Chinese imports. The China-based game streaming and esports platform developer had set an initial $500 million target, and Tencent, the internet group that is the world's largest game publisher, owns more than 40% of the company. And finally, people! Keith Larson, vice president and managing director of semiconductor and data technology producer Intel's corporate venturing subsidiary Intel Capital, has plans to retire later this year. Larson joined Intel Capital back in 1996 and is currently one of five voting executives on the investment committee that is responsible for approving all the unit's investments. During his time at Intel, the firm nearly quadrupled its annual revenue from about $20 billion in 1996 to $70.8 billion in 2018. Andrea Kors left US-based oil and gas services provider Schlumberger last month to join Shell Ventures, petroleum producer Shell's corporate venturing vehicle, as venture principal. Kors has spent approximately 18 months in the same position at Schlumberger and was named Global Corporate Venturing Rising Star in January 2019, 3 months prior to her departure. Alexander Hein has left his position as head of Wincubator, Germany-based water pump system maker Willow's corporate innovation subsidiary, and joined Sweden-headquartered energy company Vattenfall as Senior Venture Development Manager. Eric Whitman, formerly Chief Operating Officer at web interface design software developer Figma, has joined JLL Spark, US-based property manager JLL's corporate venturing arm, as Chief Growth Officer. JLL established Spark in 2017, providing it with $100 million in capital to invest in real estate and property management technology developers. Frederick Hanecker has left his position as US-based Head of Mergers and Acquisitions and Corporate Ventures for Germany-headquartered enterprise provider Software AG to move to Industrial Internet of Things software producer Wind River as its Senior Vice President of Corporate Development. Steve McGrath, a former executive at oil producer Shell's corporate venturing unit Shell Ventures, has joined Mach 49, a US-based startup incubator that devises internal innovation mechanisms for corporate clients. McGrath had helped establish Shell Ventures in 2017 and headed its North America branch for 2 years, while also launching and leading its Asia-Pacific activities. And finally, Bill Brizard, executive director of Indiana University's Innovation and Commercialization Office, is to leave his position on May 31st to pursue fresh opportunities from his new base in St. Louis. ICO has appointed Karen White, Research Development and Commercialization Facilitator for Collaborative Academic Campus Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis, as acting executive director while a permanent successor to Brizard is found. And with that, You are once again caught up on the biggest stories of the week. As always, it's not everything. That's just too much for this podcast. So do head on over to globalcorporateventuring.com and globaluniversityventuring.com. And of course, don't forget to check back daily for your news fill. If you have any feedback, feel free to email me at thehelers@globaluniversityventuring.com. That's T-H-E-L-E-S at globaluniversityventuring.com. Feel free to leave us a review on iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you download this podcast from. And don't forget to recommend us to your friends and colleagues. Thank you very much to all those of you that have already done so. My name is Thierry Hillis. I wish you a productive week, and I will speak to you again next Monday. Goodbye.
Global Venturing Review was produced by In Ear Production. You can find out more by going to inearproduction.com.